How do you price an ad on your channel? That's probably the most common question we get from other creators. And it was the biggest question we had when we first started on YouTube. So we're hosting a live workshop on how to price yourself. This is everything that we've learned in the past 13 years of being on YouTube and our simple three-step process that'll help you develop concrete pricing. So if you want to join us for this live session, just go to colinandsamir.com/live. Enter your email and you'll get all the information about our live event on May 9th. All right, hope you enjoy this episode of The Colin and Samir Show.
I make ice cream and I make more money than both my parents combined. I know it sounds like a weird flex and that's not my point of this video, but rather when everyone was making fun of me because I graduated college and I still worked at an ice cream place, that it ended up working out for me. It's 2021 and the internet runs the world.
Welcome to the wildly lucrative world of ice cream TikTok, where employees go from making $10 an hour to hundreds of thousands overnight. Today on the show, we're talking to Dylan LeMay. He's one of the many fast food workers using their downtime to go viral on TikTok. We're speaking with Dylan about how making really short videos shot on your phone can completely transform your life. In about a year, he's grown to over 10 million followers on TikTok, and in about 6 months, he's gained 1.6 million subscribers on YouTube.
Now, you know, one thing about Dylan is he's part of this short form, vertical, POV, fast food wave of content creators. All those things I just said, that sounds crazy.
So short form, meaning these videos are short. They're generally less than 30 seconds.
Sometimes less than 10 seconds.
They are shot vertically on phones, and POV, meaning point of view. So when you come across one of his TikToks, you actually don't even see his face. You just see his arms because he's shooting with a phone that is right underneath his neck.
Now, there's a ton of creators who are doing this. You know, Dylan worked at Coldstone, but then you have Milad Merg, who works at Subway, and he makes content about making Subway sandwiches.
And even outside of Milad, there are tons of creators on TikTok who are filming the behind the scenes of their experience working at either McDonald's or Starbucks. Dunkin' Donuts even has their own program now that helps employees create TikToks on the job.
Now, it's not just actually the behind the scenes of what's happening at Coldstone that makes these pieces of content interesting. What Dylan's doing and what a lot of these creators are doing, the reason why these are going so viral is because it's actually multi-narrative storytelling. So let's break down the different narratives that you'll see in a Dylan LeMay TikTok. And if you want to follow along with this, open up TikTok, type in Dylan LeMay, and you'll find his ice cream TikToks. And just go to like one of the most viewed ones, and you'll get what we're talking about.
So in a very short amount of time, he's basically telling five stories at once. The first one, right when you come across one of his videos, is, all right, how is he filming this? Because I can see both of his hands. Mm-hmm. The second one is, what is he making, right? He's in the process of making some sort of interesting ice cream concoction. So that's the second narrative that's running through your head as a viewer. The third one is the audio. He's actually telling a story with his voice that sometimes can be separate from the visuals you're seeing. So that's the third narrative.
The fourth narrative is that the environment is a familiar place, whether it's Coldstone, Starbucks, Subway, like these are familiar places, but I'm seeing a part of it that I've never seen before. It's like I'm seeing the behind the scenes of how these things are made. I'm seeing behind the counter. I've never been behind the counter. So yeah, it's like an interesting narrative. And the fifth narrative is something that's very specific to social media, which is the loop. Meaning how these creators are making these videos feel like they seemingly don't have a start and an end, that they're just constantly looping. So if you watch on TikTok or on YouTube Shorts in the mobile experience, then you're actually seeing this loop of content. And when we went with Dylan to an ice cream shop after we did the interview, he actually...
He thinks about the loop first.
He films the loop first. It was so interesting. Like he started the video in the middle of the video so that the loop would work. And also, if you go to his TikTok, you'll get what we're talking about. But some of these videos that are like 6 seconds long, but you don't realize that they've restarted. And what that does, especially on YouTube, is it makes the retention through the roof because people are watching the piece of content more than once.
Yeah, and you know, normally on YouTube, probably average, people will watch 60% of a video until they click off. With these short form creators who are telling five stories at once, like Dylan, it's so overstimulating and you're following so many things that you will actually watch these videos two or three times. So your retention could be upwards of like 100, 200%, which the algorithms look at that and they think, well, this is an amazing creator. Their videos are so great that people are willing to watch them more than once.
So Dylan is part of this new wave of creators, and talking to him and spending time with him was super interesting. If you guys want to see, we actually went to an ice cream shop with Dylan and watched him work, and that's in our YouTube video that goes along with this podcast episode. So before we get into the interview with Dylan, I wanted to mention that if you guys are listening to this episode on the day it's coming out, that means you have 2 days left to buy from our first Press Publish merch drop. So if you go to presspublish.shop, you can check out the drop. It's live. We got one hat there and two shirts. This is all under the mantra of Press Publish, just encouraging you to get your ideas out there. It's something that changed our lives the first time we ever pressed publish. And the back of the shirt says, thank you for pressing publish. It's because this is a community of creators. We're so inspired by everyone who is publishing their work out there. And what's amazing is in the first 24 hours, we saw 400 orders from over 15 different countries. Like, it's a global creator community that's plugged into this and that believes in that mantra of pressing publish, getting your ideas out there.
Yeah, I mean, the first 24 to 48 hours is really overwhelming. And if you're part of that crop of people that already purchased, thank you so much. It's unbelievable to think that there are going to be hundreds of these publish hats, these blue publish hats going out into the world.
So this is something I didn't even tell Colin about, and I just thought about right now. It's that if you are listening to this, you're part of the Pod Squad. So when you check out on the Press Publish store, type in Pod Squad into the discount and see what happens.
I'm guessing it's going to be a discount.
We'll see. Anything's possible.
Well,
but just see what happens.
Sounds like it's a discount.
It could be anything, though. All right, now for our interview with Dylan LeMay.
Which is actually only with myself and Dylan. Samir was at an eye appointment.
That's true. I was at the eye doctor.
If you're wondering and saying, Samir didn't really say much.
That's true.
He wasn't even there. Yeah.
I was at the eye doctor. If there's other people out there who wear glasses or contacts, we're one community too, you know? So just hit me up and we'll chat. We'll chat about eye doctors. All right. Anyway, here's the interview with Dylan.
I mean, you have a video on YouTube that has 82 million views. I mean, that's absurd. That's like Mr. Beast when his videos are at their best.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. Honestly, like, the first thing is like a hook. You see both my hands, like, how is this guy moving around so fast and also recording, but both of his hands are in the video? It just doesn't make sense. No one else is doing that. And so that kind of hooks you in, and then you hear the story, and then you're following along the story. There's just all these layers, and so it just depends on the person you ask.
At what point do you feel like I may have a business on my hands with what I'm doing? Like, maybe I need to stop working at the ice cream shop?
Yeah, so it was odd at the beginning because I was getting a lot of views, but the creator fund didn't exist on TikTok, so I wasn't making any money from it. But I was putting a lot of effort into it because I saw that where it could go, but also I enjoyed the creative process so much that I was just having so much fun. But once the creator fund came in and I got my first few checks from there, I was like, I just made my salary from Coldstone from like 2.5 months of work on TikTok. And this is the beginning, like, this is the start. So where is this gonna take me? But it got to the point where I kept telling the owners, I was like, hey, I'm not working as much as I was before. Like, I'm just focusing on this. Like, I need like a pay cut or something. I felt bad for what I was doing. And they're like, no, you're doing great. Keep going. Like, you can work 2 days a week, whatever. And kept me at the same salary.
Because they were like, this is amazing marketing for us.
Well, that, and also they were just like thanking me for all the hard work that I put in up into that point. So they're like, just delegate your task away and just stay there and just do what you need to do. Because when I was there, they didn't have to worry about the store because they knew like Dylan had it. Like, I did everything.
With the creator fund, is that something that has continued to be significant for you? I feel like a lot of people don't fully understand how these funds work.
Yeah, so it just depends on how well you perform. So the creator fund's all based on views. They don't pay you a lot for views, but when you do really well, you can make a lot.
In the beginning, can you give us a frame of reference for like which number of views warranted a certain amount of money? Like, what was it like?
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure technically like I can get kicked out of the creator fund for talking about how much you make.
Got it.
But
that's such a TikTok thing.
Yeah. So I would love to say it. Okay. I have no problem saying it, but I just don't want to get that taken away.
Okay. Can you say it and I'll bleep it?
Yeah, I can tell you. Okay. Yes. So if my estimations are correct, which I did a lot of them and from talking to other creators, it's pretty much the same across the board, and it's about $3 per million views.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my understanding, though, is that over time, the creator fund became less a significant form of revenue for TikTok creators.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially because, I mean, once you start on TikTok and it seems like a lot of money, but then once you branch out to other platforms, you start to understand that like TikTok isn't where it's at. Like, they're not really compensating you well compared to other apps.
Have brands been reaching out to you?
I think a lot of people are afraid to reach out to me because they think that I work with Coldstone, which I don't, sadly, but kind of thankfully.
So not really.
So you're still primarily making money from the creator fund then?
Yep. Yeah, the creator fund, but YouTube has definitely taken over. And then I was kind of early to Snapchat, so I got Snapchat Spotlight money, which was really nice.
How does Snapchat Spotlight money compare to TikTok creator fund money?
So you get your first notification from Snapchat. It's this ginormous number. And you're just like, this cannot be real. My first year of TikTok creator fund money, I got in one check from Snapchat from one video. So 1 million viewed video on Snapchat Spotlight was how much I made from hundreds of millions of videos on.
So that's like a six-figure check.
Yeah.
Immediately from Snapchat.
Pretty much. Yeah. It was a little less than six-figure check. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how does YouTube now stack up AdSense?
Yeah, so YouTube, it just depends. A lot is changing right now. I just got my first check from Shorts the other day from YouTube, which is nice. But then also, so without Shorts making money, you just get paid based on your long-form video, which is out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
So for a while, I've taken like breaks from doing them just because I don't know exactly what I'm doing or how I want to do it.
When did you start on YouTube?
So Milad encouraged me to start going on YouTube. It was like, I think the beginning of March-ish. Yeah.
And what was your experience like at the start there? Was it sort of an immediate success? Like how often were you posting? What was that like?
Yeah, so I mean, I was posting a little bit on YouTube, but not much because I didn't understand it before that. And then Milad was like, hey, you need to be posting at least like 3 times a day on Shorts and then you'll pop off like me. And then me and Milad collaborated around that time. So I got a little bit of traffic from him just giving me like a friendly shout out. But then I started posting like 8 times a day. I would just post because I had all the Shorts like on my phone, yeah, from TikTok. So I was just posting like 8 times a day and then I would just respond to every single comment, heart every single comment. Like I was just grinding on TikTok or on to Shorts, just trying to make as much of a like an impact as I could. And I just started growing like crazy. It was insane.
When it comes to YouTube, I watched one of your videos and you said the time is now to start YouTube.
Yes.
Why is that?
Because Shorts changed the game. Like people work for 10 years to get 100,000 like subscribers. And like, I almost feel bad. Like, honestly, I feel bad a lot of the time that I did it so fast. Cause I'm like, these people grinded forever, but the game has just changed. And you just have to accept that and you can't be upset by it. And you just have to plow into Shorts. Like it's just, it's a game changer. You have to do it.
So, I mean, you're so new to this. It's been like just over a year.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself like this is something you can really do for the next 5 to 10 years? Like, how do you look at this as a career considering it just happened?
Yeah, no, I definitely think that it's something I can do. I enjoy it so much and I put a lot of effort into it. That's why I've grown so fast. But one thing that's really fun that I'm trying to do now is open my own ice cream place. I feel like it just makes sense for my character arc as a creator or as digestible content, but also just for me as a person. Like that's something I've always wanted to do since I started working with ice cream. So that's one thing that I'm working on right now.
Where did that idea come from? Like, when did that start?
Yeah, so it's something that I've always joked about since with my family. When I was a kid, we grew up baking stuff all the time. So I was like, we're going to have a bakery one day, a family bakery. But now that I do ice cream, like, it just makes so much more sense for me to do ice cream. That's something I've always wanted to do. And so it's never something I thought I could do well. So I was like, this is something I'll put on the back shelf. Maybe one day I'll be able to do it, but I don't think it'll ever happen. And so I thought for a while, I would just get a franchise. I would just own a Cold Stone. It's funny, the Cold Stone that I worked for in Springfield, the owners actually offered to sell it to me. So that was another thing. When I was thinking about leaving, they were like, hey, how about you just buy the store? They were really trying anything to keep me around. But so then that just didn't feel right. And then there were other opportunities where I could have bought like a small local ice cream place, but I'm like, that just doesn't feel right. But now with this is something that actually like feels right, making my own thing.
So where are you in the process right now? Like how far away are you from opening up a shop? Where is it going to be? Like, tell me as much as you can about it.
We're hoping to have it open by like beginning of next year, like springtime-ish, hopefully. We're thinking New York City because we're trying to just go big.
And you'll work there. This will be your new place of business.
Yeah. So imagine everything I used to do for Cold Stone, a company that really didn't do anything for me. Now I get to do all that for myself and for all of you guys. So
is there anything else that would come alongside that? Like, are you going to film there? What happens there specifically? Like, and is there a grander vision or is it just like, that's the shop? Like
my goal is to just do a ton of collaborations, like do extremely fun stuff, like get your favorite person that you never thought that I'd ever meet. And then we make like an ice cream flavor together. And then we drop a YouTube video of me making that ice cream flavor with them. And then everyone gets to enjoy it together. And just like a very collaborative experience with not just me, but the people that enjoy watching my videos.
It reminds me kind of like a Hot Ones, like there's an opportunity to do like a Hot Ones style show or like sneaker shopping with Complex where like someone will go in and like pick out their favorite shoes.
Yeah.
You could have like someone come in and come up with their favorite version of ice cream.
Yep. That, no, that's exactly. Yeah. That's a great example. That's pretty much what I kind of want it to be. Just a fun thing for all of us.
And are you thinking like there's merch that comes along with this? Yeah. Do you have a name?
No, I'm working on that, but okay. Hopefully soon I'll be able to say it. So we're working on that.
What would be your advice to companies like Cold Stone or like Subway?
Yeah.
Cause this is just the beginning.
Yeah.
100%. Like now you and Milad are like showing young people a roadmap that you may have a job at McDonald's, but millions of people would find that fascinating.
Yeah. My biggest piece of advice to them is to take us serious. Like they are in a whole different mindset and they're missing a huge opportunity. And I'm not just saying that because it affects me in a positive way. It's just more so of like, you spend millions of dollars on commercials every year, but you're missing out on the best opportunity to do way more than that commercial will ever do for you.
And what would be your advice to young creators right now who are maybe hesitant to just even put something out in the first place?
Yeah, just do it. I mean, just have fun. I made videos at work. Like you can make videos about anything. One thing that I find funny is like the paradox of you see this amazing artist that spent, you always see the audios where it's like, I spent 300 hours on this painting and I got 7 views, but it's because you didn't show in an interesting way. And that's mm-hmm. also works on the flip side. You can legit do nothing and make it an interesting video by just the way you film the video, and it can get 700 million views. That's just the way that the internet works. So whatever you're doing, just find a fun way to show it off and make people want to watch it, and then you're good.
All right, so we hope you guys enjoyed that interview with Dylan. He's such a fascinating guy. Like, it's only been a year, and now he has 10 million people following him. He's made videos that have 80 million views, and he's launching an ice cream shop.
I mean, his life has changed so much in just over a year.
That's so crazy.
Really crazy.
We've been doing this for 10 years, Colin.
Yeah. I'm aware.
Yeah, okay, you're aware. Yeah.
I'm aware.
Yeah. It's been a decade we've been doing this.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to see what it was like when we went behind the scenes with Dylan to an ice cream shop here in LA, check out the YouTube channel. It is live right now. And it was a really fun experience to go to an ice cream shop. Like what a fascinating and like oddly satisfying thing to be a part of, that you just get to go watch someone like play with ice cream.
Yeah, that was a, you know, part of a day of work.
It was a part of a day of work for us. That was so interesting.
And Dylan, you know, with the hat and the mask in the video, if you see it on the channel, kind of looks like me.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, I could be replaced.
You could be replaced.
It's fine.
That's true. Yeah. No one would know.
I was just joking.
Oh, yeah. Me too. All right. And head over to presspublish.shop. The drop is only live for the next 72 hours or maybe less, depending on when you're listening to this. So definitely head over there, check it out, and type in Pod Squad. You'll have a little surprise there on checkout.
Samir, did you see that Cody Ko got a haircut?
It looks so good.
You think he got it because of you?
I think so. Yeah, it looks really good. I'm gonna text him.
He said, Samir cleaned up his act. Maybe I'll do that.
Yeah. I'm going to text Cody and say, good haircut, man.
And he'll say, don't text me ever again.
That's most likely what happened. All right. We'll see you guys next week. We have a breakdown episode coming out about YouTube boxing. So stay tuned because that one is going to be really fun.
Ding, ding, ding. That's the boxing.
No, thing. I got it. All right. Yeah. See ya.